Hey friend, it's Corey Robinson with NBC Sports. Let's talk some story. We had two Game 7s in the NBA this weekend. The Milwaukee Bucks, Boston Celtics, the Celtics won. And the Phoenix Suns, Dallas Mavericks, the Mavericks won. Let's stop right there. This read to me as two different tales. The first being Bucks-Celtics. This is going to be a great series. And it lived up to it. Seven games all the way through. The level of play by Tatum and company going against a giant of the NBA, Giannis. Although it's a weakened Bucks team, remember they didn't have Chris Middleton. He's been out since game two of the Bulls series with an MCL sprain in his left knee. So it was a weakened Bucks team, but they're the defending champions. It lived up to the hype. Now, the second series, Phoenix-Dallas, the way I read this was, wake up, Phoenix. It's only a matter of time before they go on. It's almost like a guarantee. What we learn in live sports is that there's no such thing as a guarantee. Rich Strike showed us that in the Kentucky Derby, and the Dallas Mavericks are showing us that right now. They beat the Phoenix Suns 123-90, and even that doesn't even begin to describe the dominance of this game. That scoreline is shocking for a lot of reasons, but none more so than the fact that this Suns team was by far the best team in the West. It wasn't even close. All year long, there was a chasm. It was like, basically, you can kind of split up the West a couple different ways, but one was way out in front of everybody. It was like the tortoise and the hare. They were the hare. The Mavs were like sitting 4, 5, 6. They were in that middle spot, which was very competitive in the West. But it looked at any given day, you know, would they live up to the expectations? Because you have to remember, Kristaps Porzingis was supposed to be the guy to help Luka lift this Mavs team out of the first round. Luka has never been out of the first round until this year. But then the partnership didn't work, and it looked as though this was going to be a step back. Jason Kidd in his first year, you lose Porzingis, what are you going to do? The answer is, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie comes up huge. They find their rhythm. They start going on a tear. They escape the first round. And in the second round, they end up beating the best team in the West and the best team in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns, who had the defending coach of the year and a defensive player of the year finalist. And the way they did it was just masterful. It was absolutely masterful. Luka Doncic had more points than the entire Suns team at one point in the third quarter. In the third quarter. The Suns trio, right? You think about DeAndre Ayton, Chris Paul, Devin Booker. A trio that led them into the NBA Finals last year. They only made one shot combined in the first half. Let that sink in. So the second half rolls around. The Suns score a basket. They get their 29th point of the game in the third quarter. Shocking. And a stat then comes up on my TV screen. Luka Doncic, 30 points. Suns team, 29. It was that kind of day. Everything that they threw at Luka, it backfired. Like they trap him right after he crossed half court. And one time, I kid you not, he tries to split the double team. It ricochets off of one Suns defender, hits another Suns defender's knee, and barely misses Luka's hand by like 3 millimeters. And it was just that kind of day, all day. The Suns were missing layups. It was just so uncharacteristic of that team. And the Mavs could not miss. Spencer Dinwiddie had 21 points in the first half. It was just amazing. Now let's go to Boston-Milwaukee. This one's interesting because Giannis, we have to go to game six. Giannis scored 44 points and had 20 rebounds in game six, and they lost. That's when I got concerned. Game seven rolls around. Giannis almost has a triple-double in the first quarter. His stat line's like 10-7-6. That's incredible. But as time elapsed, the game went on, he got less and less and less efficient. And at the end of the game, it was almost unrecognizable. No one stepped up to help Giannis. Lopez at first did. But then beyond that, no one helped. The Celtics, on the other hand, had a different story. What's interesting is you look at Tatum's scoreline, it's like, okay, he had 23 points. Brown, 19 points. So the Celtics stars, those are manageable scorelines. How did the Celtics win 109-81? The correct answer is Grant Williams. He shot 2-for-14 from the three-point line the past four games. So in an extended playoff series, right, you're playing seven games, you start looking and analyzing trends, you're like, okay, let's let this guy shoot open threes and guard the most pressing concern, right? Makes sense. Well, he shot him. He shot 18 threes, made seven, ended up with 27 points. That's the difference. In game seven, you got to have other people step up and help. And that's exactly what Boston had that Milwaukee didn't. Now, this is interesting because I think we're witnessing Tatum take control of the NBA. So every couple of years, power shifts. Whose league is it? It's been Giannis's league. But now Tatum's making a very strong case for it to be his league because the performances that he's doing for that iconic franchise, he beat Kevin Durant in the first round and Kyrie Irving. Then he beats the defending champions and Giannis in the second round. If he gets revenge on the Heat, who they lost to in the Eastern Conference Finals in the bubble, and then wins a championship, he seals it for me. We're in the era of Jason Tatum. It's his league at that point. I'm Corey Robinson with NBC Sports. I'd love to hear what you think. Please reach out to me on social media using the hashtag CoreyStory.